26 Bible.
The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with my buddy John. We are off and running on a Tuesday. It is November the 7th. 2023. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, and our radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted local news and talk. And of course, we have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, which is also the place for all of our podcasts. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We welcome back to the show from the nation's capital, Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, whose unique role in representing Tucson's interests began with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet position by President Carter, subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. And Terry also is a contributing columnist to the Arizona Daily Star. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing well. I actually got called at the last minute to get out and help pass out literature at the polls. So I'm taking a break from that. Pretty good turnout. I'm a little surprised. These are local elections, and the turnout has been heavy.
Wow.
Heavy.
Very good.
Yeah.
Those Arizona Wildcats surprising a lot of people, right? They're now bowl eligible, and there's a lot of interest now suddenly in Arizona football.
I loved watching that game the other night with UCLA. I mean, that was really impressive, a performance by our guys. I mean, this coach has taken a team that was basically a doormat and turned them into a really threatening team. On some of the polls, I think they're ranked in the top 25 now.
They are, the first time since 2017. So well-deserved. Coach Fish has really turned the program around. Let's talk a little bit about your column in Sunday's Arizona Daily Star. Will we follow Teddy Roosevelt? Teddy Roosevelt's advice is the headline. What was that advice, Terry Bracey?
Well, Roosevelt believed that you had to reform constantly in order to preserve what you had. It was he said, reform if you wish to preserve. And I think that we're going through a period right now which proves this point. Many of our institutions are just, they're kind of breaking down. I mean, you don't have to go very far. Look at the Congress, Bill. It's just dysfunctional. And a lot of the reason is because you've got people who are called conservatives, but Bill, they're really not conservatives. They are radicals and extremists. And the many conservatives in the Republican Party are having to swallow a whole lot. But at some point, that will lead to a revolution in the party. And hopefully we can, in time, after a big election, get a working majority in that House of Representatives. And then secondly, you know, worse than having a small group run the show, over in the Senate, you've got rules that allow one person, one senator, to do it. And here we've got a situation where Tommy Tuberville, who was a football coach in Alabama, very popular, got elected to the Senate for the Republicans, and he's kind of turned on them. His latest, you know, his latest gambit, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you can believe it, he has held up the promotions of over 300 of our top military leaders because the full Senate doesn't agree with his position on abortion.
Yeah, that,
you know, I mean,
people are getting very tired of that, holding up those promotions, and it's going to cost our military. People are just going to say, I don't want to deal with this nonsense, Terry. They're just going to get out.
Well, they're having trouble now recruiting.
Yeah.
And so in the midst of it, we're in two wars. We're silent partners in two wars, and we're having trouble recruiting. And this is probably one of the reasons. It just looks kind of chaotic.
Terry, let's see if we can go through. You made some suggestions, actually five ideas, starting with the first one, outlaw gerrymandering. Let's try to go through those five here in our remaining time.
Well, Arizona has a good system, but most places don't. Gerrymandering is the practice of drawing congressional lines so that they favor your party no matter what. And the whole country has been carved up this way by both parties. And the result has been you're getting extremists who naturally win the primaries mm-hmm. because they're always the most active. So what we're delivering to Congress now is ready-made extremists from the most radical wings of both parties.
Yep.
And, you know, it's got to be maybe a three-judge federal panel could do it. Or I really admired what Linda McNulty and the commission did, a citizens commission in Arizona, drew some pretty good lines. And it's been much more receptive than Arizona. But that is the biggest problem. We're recruiting for Congress radicals.
A couple of your other suggestions: modernize the rules of the House and Senate so they cannot be bent by radical minorities or a single member to impose agendas on our society. You already mentioned an example of this with Senator Tupperville.
Yeah. Well, he's got the filibuster rule, and he's got a rule which allows any senator, if you can believe this, any senator to hold up cabinet, judicial, whatever nominations just because he or she wants to. I mean, they'll give you a reason, and his reason is he wants to legislate through the back door and get abortion out of the military. But it's really bad. Now, in the House, you can see what's happened with their rules. They were traditionally pretty good rules, Robert's Rules of Order and so on. But right now, Bill, the radicals have managed to change the rules so that one person can call out the speaker. I mean, that's chaos. Anybody could bring down the speaker. And when you have a system like that, that's all you get, chaos, and that's what we have now.
Your third suggestion, mandatory teaching of civics in elementary and secondary schools. I think there is a movement here in Arizona to go that direction.
When we all got out of eighth grade, we knew the basics of civics and our generation. But now we had a new United States senator who, when he came to town, was asked several things. And it became apparent that he did not understand that we had three branches of government, a U.S. senator.
What?
And that tells you, yeah, I know. Well, and it tells you how far we've fallen in our civic education. So we got to get on top of that, Bill.
That's for sure. Your fourth suggestion, demand that the Supreme Court be guided by a strict code of ethics.
Well, in the end of the day, the members of the court, nine members of the court, are the most powerful people after the president in the country. And yet, while everybody else is guided by very strict rules, the judges have refused to think that they need rules. They can decide for themselves what's okay. Well, a bunch of them now are taking fancy trips, and it's the same old thing, you know, getting cars and extra income doing various things. And it's become a really bad thing the country always sort of counters on the Supreme Court. And now the country is very concerned, and rightly so, about the court.
Your last suggestion, the president should appoint a bipartisan group for a complete overhaul, looking a review, a complete overhaul of the entire federal election system.
This was last done by President Eisenhower Commission, and it's badly needed now. You get to a point where you have a legislature that can't function in that way. Traditionally, legislatures, or House and Senate, should be able to write reforms into their oversight rules for the agencies. But they're so confused themselves at this point and so heavily lobbied by the various interests that they can't do it. It was like in Ike's time. And so I think the president needs to appoint, with the help of some Republicans, a really first-rate group of Americans to take an independent look at this whole system that's falling apart.
All right, Terry, out of time, we're going to let you get back to the polls, where you are, your calling is back at the polls.
Well, it's not too cold. All right, Bill, see you soon.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us on The Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Mona's Danish Bakery is the place to go to, you want a beautiful dessert, great pie on your Thanksgiving table? Let Steve and the team know what you would like. Put in your order now and for your dinner rolls. It's monasdanishbakery.com. That will get you to where you need to go to make that order. They're open right now for lunch. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's, ready now for your Thanksgiving dessert order. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. And we got another thumbs up. That's 2 weeks in a row on a Tuesday. What else can happen? We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how's your week going so far?
So far, judged by the market, the week's going great, and today's election day, so...
Yeah, got some interesting elections around the country. Of course, we have an election here in the city of Tucson. So we've had a pretty good little run on the market so far.
The past couple of weeks, actually, when you take a look at it...
Yeah,
you know, September was dreadful. We got through October okay, up and down, and, you know, the market has shown some reluctance to make a commitment one way or the other. But, boy, the past 2 weeks have certainly looked like commitment to me.
And
now,
is that...
You don't never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and is this tied to the Federal Reserve and their declaration of victory?
Well, the investment community was building in the assumption that Powell would leave rates alone this meeting, and that's exactly what happened. And so that... linked with what was a somewhat lower employment report than the experts had been predicting. The experts had been predicting 180,000, 190,000 jobs. Turned out to be about 150,000. But, you know, we had a big industry, actually two big industries on strike.
Yeah.
And so that gets played into the numbers. At any rate, when that came out on Friday, the markets said, well, you know, it's clear that the Fed is not going to do anything rash. And so they started putting back the money that they had been taking out in, you know, starting at the end of the summer. We are now ahead on all the major indices. And, you know, we've got 2 months left or less than 2 months left in the year. But it looks to me like we're going to have what would be a near standard year for gains in the major indices.
There was a lot of money parked on the sidelines at the end of September, wasn't there?
There was a lot of money parked on the sidelines. And the bond market has been just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because of interest rates going up, the bond prices have been going down and yields have been going up. Now, those things, you know, we can get in the weeds as to why that happened. But for people who had the, you know, typical 60-40, 40% bond mix in you know, the investment years in their portfolios, or even higher percentages of bonds because they were at or near retirement levels, that became problematic for the investment community, except when you took a look at what the yields on those bonds were.
Mm-hmm.
They were paying interest rates that we had not seen in a very, very long time. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is interest rates on mortgages have been problematic. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember my first mortgage was 12.5%, and that wasn't even at the very peak of when mortgage rates were very, very high. So mortgage rates today at 6-7% are about a third of what they were when inflation was really a problem.
Yeah.
And so if you're a person looking to maybe trade up or trade down from your existing home, you know, you look at mortgage rates today, you've got a 3% mortgage, and you take a look at a 6% as a substitute, and you go, maybe I'll stay here for a while. And so what we're seeing is that the market for existing homes has been somewhat reduced and is sluggish. But if you're wanting to buy a new home, then, you know, that market is, in fact, last week, I think we had a real estate person
on. We did, yeah.
Just before me. And she was saying that the market here in Tucson for new construction, both industrial and residential, has been just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the availability of flexible rate or adjustable rate mortgages, which says everybody believes these rates are going to come down somewhat. So, you know, let's get an adjustable rate mortgage and, you know, cross our fingers.
Mm-hmm. If you do have the traditional mix in your portfolio with the bonds, the higher interest rates have helped you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
If I take a look at, for instance,
yeah.
Municipal bond ETFs,
mm-hmm.
Now they're down 8-10% from their highs 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
But they're yielding 4-5% tax-free income.
That's very attractive.
And that's very attractive. Now, you can get, you know, you can get a CD this, these days at some banks that are at 5%, but it's taxable.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're in invested in, say, a high-yield bond fund,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're looking at 11% yields.
Yeah.
So you live with the fact that you know, the thing is 20-25% under what it might have peaked at because you're holding on to it anyway. And you just take that interest that's coming in or dividends that are coming in and you just plow it right back into the same stuff because you're dollar cost averaging and you're buying that stuff now at a somewhat reduced rate. And when things get back to some semblance of normal, you're going to be just fine.
Do you think then the Fed is done raising interest
I
rates?
Do.
You do.
I do. I think we're going to see some interest rate cuts, maybe even in December.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
so that would bode well for the markets.
very well as we close out the year,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also it bodes well for the economy in general. At 5-5.25% short term rates, those rates are somewhat inhibiting of new investment, not just in housing, but for corporations that want to invest in plant and other domestic investments. And so, you know, when the Fed is doing this deliberately, of course, to slow down the economy, well, they've slowed it down all the way to 4.5%. Don't ask me how that happened. So we have a growth in the economy, which is higher than we've had in a gazillion years, at least in the past quarter. And so, you know, the Fed's got to scratch their heads and say, wait a second, this is kind of on autopilot right now. Let's make it easy for the economy to grow in a way that is more like the historic norms of the past 20 years.
It's been something of a hybrid, to say the least, right? Over the past 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah. The
pandemic, post-pandemic.
There are so many things that have taken us away from what the generally, you know, understood wisdom in economics has been, that people scratch their heads and say, well, you can't predict because the data is so weird. On the other hand, and this is something you and I have talked about for a long time, when you've been trained in economics in the 80s and 90s, and the world has changed to the extent that our world economy is so integrated throughout the economies of the world, including economies that you would not necessarily suspect we'd partner with, like the Chinese economy, which is, after all, highly controlled.
Mm-hmm.
You look around and say, are the algorithms that we used to use to predict what might happen in the medium and long term, are they any good anymore? So we have people who are the gurus of economics, and they're scratching their heads and going, we've been wrong now for a long time. What gives? And I think what gives is that the models are changed, and they're changed irreparably, Bill.
Mm.
And what we need now is a generation of economists who take a look at the new reality, and that reality includes media access that is just bizarrely instantaneous, and technological access that is bizarrely instantaneous. Today, with fiber optic connections directly into the markets, you know, when you trade, your trade is literally done in microseconds. And so you can arbitrage ups and downs of a couple of hundredths of a percent and make money in a day. Now, you and I can't do that, but the big traders do. And so all of that makes, in some way, the market very much more volatile. And what we used to think were headwinds don't appear to be headwinds. And what we used to think was stability, it turns out to be instability. A perfect example is, what our debt here in the country is. And why isn't it slowing down the economy when we have debt at 100% of GDP? Should we be printing money? Can we print money without causing inflation? Well, we've been doing it for the past 20 years. So understanding that is really problematic.
And we will see what happens with a possible government shutdown and how I had to bring that up, right? Bring us back to reality.
2 weeks.
You go. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Thank you, Shelley.
We'll talk to
you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing Zilkalo Village Studios. The holidays are fast approaching. The Poin poinsettias at Green Things are now ready for pickup. And we're talking about thousands of them in some beautiful colors that could certainly add a holiday feel to your Thanksgiving Day festivities. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, also is home to Zocalo and some of their great pottery. I was mentioning yesterday not only wonderful Talavera pottery from Mexico, but they've got some beautiful giant pieces of pottery from the Greek island of Crete. So lots of stuff over at Green Things and Zocalo Village, where they are open daily, and they're in their 53rd year of business. When we do our telephone interviews, of which we will be doing one momentarily, that is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, one of our 24 contributors to this program. We're happy he is. Our contributor on public health is Will Humble. He is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. He's been in the public health field for more than 3 decades, and he served as the director of the Arizona Department of Health. That was from 2009 to 2015. And he joins us now. He has stepped away from a function up at the beautiful Biltmore Hotel, and he's with us on the live line. How are you doing, Will?
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Doing well. You know, we've got a lot to unpack here at the beginning of your session today, because I think there's confusion. I'm trying to follow what is going on with this dust up over assisted living facilities and the accountability that is needed for these facilities. What is this all about, Will Humble?
So it's about a couple of different things. We've talked about this maybe a few episodes ago about how the Arizona Auditor General did an investigation of the job that the state health department has been doing over the last few years, ensuring that people in skilled nursing facilities, so that's the highest level of care, and this report from the Auditor General found that the state health department was not doing their job, and when complaints would come in for several years, actually, very little investigation was done. And when they got caught by the Auditor General, the State Health Department reclassified all the high-risk complaints, which need to be done within a week, to low-risk, which need to be done within a year. So they reclassified 98% of the high-risk complaints to low and then said, well, we're in compliance. Well, the auditor caught them on that. Now they're on the hook to make some changes. And they are making some changes, hiring some staff, getting some better accountability. They've got new leadership and so forth. So that's part one of the episode. The second part is a series of investigations that the Arizona Republic did. And some of your listeners will have read some of those stories about assisted living centers. So the top level of care is skilled nursing. So those are people that need really intensive hands-on care. The next level down is called assisted living, and that's where you need maybe some help. Not, you know, you can take your own medication and you can do things pretty well by yourself, and so you don't need skilled nursing care, but you need some different kinds of assistance. And what the Republic journalist uncovered, Caitlin McGlade was the main journalist on this set of stories, she found that over and over again, assisted living centers would be violence, not patient on patient or resident on resident violence. And when complaints would go in, the state health department would not either not document, not substantiate that abuse, or would substantiate it, but then not punish the institution enough so that they would make some changes. And so your listeners can go to AZ Central and look at some of the investigations that the Republic put forth. And that got the attention of the governor. And so we saw about 10 days ago or so, Governor Hobbs, I'm sure it was, she read the articles in the Republic, and she's like, okay, we need to make some changes. And so She's called for some things that she wants to see done during the legislative session to give the state health department more, I guess you could say, heft in terms of their enforcement authority with civil money penalties, fines, basically. But also some other changes, which we won't go into here unless you want to. So lots of problems in terms of accountability with assisted living and skilled nursing facilities. The good news is that between the Arizona Auditor General and the investigations done by the Republic, we are finally starting to see some accountability, and I think things are on the road to improving. But, you know, it was because of this outside oversight from the Auditor General and from journalists. I mean, that's what made it happen.
There's a Mesa Assisted Living Center, Will Humble, that I've been reading about that has 150 citations. You have to wonder why that facility would still be open.
Exactly. And that's, I think that is one of the things that got the governor's attention. You know, one of the things that happens in state government is, you know, your agency directors often don't tell you when bad things are happening and when they're not doing a good job. And so it takes sometimes outside people like auditors and journalists so that a governor finds out about, you know, an agency that's not doing their job. And in that case, you're talking about an assisted living, not skilled nursing, but assisted living that had, you know, as you mentioned, many, many, many substantiated complaints, meaning they found something wrong. But, you know, the facility got basically slaps on the wrist. And in part of that is because the statutory limits on civil money penalties, the fines that the state health department could give are so low, like they cap out at $250, $500. Well, for a big assisted living facility, that's lunch money, you know? So that's one of the things that the governor is interested in changing. It's going to take some statutory changes. But the other thing is, you know, the health department didn't move to revoke the permits. And that's a judgment call that I think we're going to start to see changing now that this new accountability is out there and that the governor and her team are paying attention. I'm crossing my fingers here.
Well, do you think leadership at your old stomping grounds is under fire over this, Will Humble?
I don't really know. I mean, I can tell you I worked under the Brewer administration that I would have had some splaining to do, as Ricky Ricardo used to say, remember?
Yeah.
I would have been called onto the carpet during the Brewer years. I'm not there to know, and I don't have any firsthand information to actually know what happened behind closed doors. I do know the governor's paying attention now because she did a whole press conference on it, or at least released some statements. And they do have a list of bullets that they want to accomplish over the next 6 months that were right on target. So she's listening to somebody good now.
All right. Before we take the break, you've talked about the Arizona State Hospital and the need for reform there, Will. What's anything new on that?
Nothing major new recently. I am a little bit frustrated with, I know there's a lot of complaints that haven't been investigated yet out there, and I haven't seen any resolution to that. I'm willing to give it a little more time before I start throwing rocks, but I have to say I'm a little bit disappointed about that. I don't know if we want to spend time with this on the radio, but I was driving on the hospital. Look, if you look at the state hospital grounds, which is up here in Phoenix at 24th Street and Van Buren, mm-hmm. and you look out onto the grounds of the hospital, there's dozens of acres of just dead trees. I mean, they
what?
Just stopped watering, which I know. They stopped watering all these acres and acres of trees, and they all died, which, I mean, you live in Tucson. We live up here. We have a water problem. I get it. And I understand shutting off water and going to better landscaping, but there's now acres and acres of dead trees just sitting out in the open. And it's, to me, it's like, it sends a message that we don't really care about our premises and we don't care what the place looks like. And it sends a really bad message. I might tell you, it wouldn't happen when I was in charge. I mean, we would have at least gotten some contractors out there and wood chipped that stuff. But it's, I don't know. I took some pictures and put it up on my blog. You can see it up there, Bill. It's really shameful. I can't imagine a hospital in the entire state that would allow their grounds to look like that. No one would. Nobody in the private sector would do that.
No,
or a nonprofit.
Not only does
the state mental hospitals let it just go look at it. It's ridiculous.
What a horrible message. How depressing. I mean, it's a depressing kind of place anyway. And then you've got acres of dead trees. That is ridiculous. We'll stick around.
By the way, it doesn't have to be a depressing place.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When it's done properly and there's therapeutic work being done, it's not. It has been recently, but it doesn't need to be that way. Sorry to mess up your break.
No, that's okay. Let's take the break. Will Humble will be with us after the break. He's calling us from outside the Biltmore Hotel in Phoenix. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Are you looking for something to do this weekend? Perhaps a road trip is in your future? I hope so, and I hope it's to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which turns out to be not a bad drive at all. About 3 hours east of Tucson, and when you get there, perfect time of year in the land of enchantment. There's all sorts of outdoor activities, like checking out the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. And then downtown Silver City and wonderful Victorian architecture, some great places to stay and dine as well. A good starting point, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for your upcoming visit to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We continue with our visit over the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management with our friend Will Humble, the Director of Marketing and Public Relations and Executive Director for the Arizona Public Health Association. And I see that your association honored Dr. Cullen, our Pima County Health Director, with an award recently.
Not just an award, that's our top award.
Your top award.
Some of your listeners will remember Senator and Dr. Andy Nichols.
Yes.
Down there in the Tucson area. He did a whole lot for public health over decades, really. And a lot of the public health gains that we've made in Arizona have still tie back to the things that Senator Nichols accomplished while he was in the legislature, and even out when he wasn't in the legislature. He did a lot of work, too. So we have our Senator Andy Nichols Honor Award, which is our top award, and that went to Dr. Cullen this year. And so she came up to Phoenix and gave a really nice talk about, you know, the importance of the work of public health and, you know, giving a shout out to her team and so forth. So it was a really nice evening.
Yeah, Senator Nichols, the late Senator Nichols, did a outstanding job. I remember Andy Nichols. All right. Arizona is moving toward toilet to tap. That seems to be an inevitability. Would you agree with that, Will Humble?
It's inevitable, yeah. I mean, we've got a long-term water shortage problem. You know, a lot of that ties into agriculture uses of water and so forth, too. But everybody needs to do their part to do water conservation. And I know there's an ick factor to this, but the environmental engineers know exactly how to do it right so that you can recycle and reuse water. It's going to take some psychological change, I think, for some people to realize that. But I think it's inevitable when that's the question that you asked. And the answer is, I think, yeah.
Is it safe?
If it's done right, it's safe. I mean, you can never say anything is safe until you frame it by saying, if everything is done to standard, it's safe. So if you treat wastewater the proper way, using the right kinds of treatment facilities that are all in good working order, and use the right kind of disinfectants, and deliver that water right back, and it's 100% safe. But everything has to be working right. So that's the caveat.
So the state health department has to sign off on regulations before a city or town in Arizona could go that way. What is the process for that?
Yeah, so it's the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, or ADEQ for short, and that's the regulatory body that ensures compliance with what's called the Safe Drinking Water Act. That's federal legislation through the EPA, and the active sort of the responsible party in Arizona is ADEQ. Now, sometimes they delegate that responsibility to counties, but by and large, the responsibility to make sure it's done right is with DEQ and the permitting and the permits. And so before it would really happen, DEQ's got to sign off on all the processes. And, you know, the utility, if it's the city or whatever utility is, needs to be held accountable to making sure that they're doing everything right.
Tempe voting to raise the age to buy tobacco products. What would that age be, Will?
So it's 21. But the main thing that Tempe's doing is, I mean, according to the FDA, you're supposed to be 21 anyway, but enforcement is actually quite bad across most of the country. And what Tempe is embarking on, and their city council voted on this last week, I think, they're going to have a permitting system. And I think Tucson has something similar, and so does Flag, where the business, let's say it's a Circle K or whatever, that's selling cigarettes has to get a license from the city. And as a condition of keeping that license, they have to ensure that they're not selling tobacco products to anyone under 21. So it's really more about the enforcement piece than it is, you know, the actual age part of it for Tempe, what Tempe's about to do.
All right. I've only got a couple of minutes, and this story really broke yesterday. I don't know if you were had checked it out, about two studies which have not been published, were presented Monday at the American Heart Association Scientific Sessions in Philadelphia. And the studies found that older adults who use marijuana have more risk of heart attack or stroke when hospitalized than non-users and are more likely to develop heart failure if they are a daily user.
That makes perfect. So first of all, I haven't seen the studies, but it makes perfect intuitive sense. If you're talking about smoking marijuana, if you're talking about edibles, my bet is that those studies were about people who smoke marijuana rather than people who take the edible marijuana gummies and stuff like that. Again, I haven't seen the studies, but it makes perfect sense because smoking marijuana is bad. Bad for your lungs, just like cigarettes. Mm-hmm. You know, cardiovascular and respiratory problems. You can avoid some of that with edibles. Problem is, edibles are really hard to dose because the lag time between eating a gummy and having the effects is so long, people can overdose easily on those things.
Well, It is the American Heart Association, you're right, recommending against smoking not only marijuana, but tobacco because of the potential damaging effects on the heart, lungs, and blood vessels.
Yes, and I would even take out the word potential because it causes that kind of damage. You know, may not end up being what kills you in the end, but it definitely causes damage every time you take a drag on a cigarette.
You know, we haven't talked about vaping. Is that still a big deal now in Arizona, Will?
Oh, it's huge, especially for kids.
Yeah.
And by kids, I mean even young adults and stuff, people in their 20s. I still call them kids, but they're not, I know. It's a huge problem where people get addicted to the nicotine from the vaping. Now, it's a lot safer than smoking cigarettes in terms of, you know, cardiovascular and respiratory system damage and stuff, but it's still super addictive, and it's really hard to quit. People say, you know, that addictions to tobacco, to nicotine, are among the most difficult kinds of addictions to get to the other side of. And so these young people that are vaping are addicted to nicotine. And when they decide, most of them will decide they want to try to quit, it'll be really hard for them.
And addicting using tobacco products, that addiction can come very quickly, can't it, Will Humble?
You know, I don't want to answer that question because I'm not exactly a subject matter expert on mm-hmm. that part of it. I could tell you that, for example, opioids, one of the terrible things about opioids is that you can get addicted to, like, oxycodone, like, after 7 days.
Wow.
Super addictive. Now, I don't think nicotine is in that ballpark, and so I don't know how long it takes to get addicted, but, it'll, you know, chronic use of it ends up with an addiction that when you later decide you want to stop, you're going to suffer.
All right. All right, Will, we're going to let you go. What about your blog? Where do we find you?
So you can go to azpha.org. That's our organization. And my blog's right up front. And you can look at the pictures of the state hospital we talked about.
Yeah.
I took some pictures last Saturday and I just shook my head and I said, you know what? I'm just going to put this out on the blog. I know it's not about patient care, but it sends a message that we don't care. And I'm not going to stop talking about it till it's cleaned up.
Okay. Good point. Thank you, Will, and have a great day and a great afternoon up in the beautiful Biltmore. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
All right. That will wrap it up on behalf of Will and John, engineering and producing the show. All of us here, hoping all of you out there have a great afternoon.